Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Busy lately, Dylan? Well, just the master of tact and diplomacy.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 10, Isn't It Romantic? There's a question mark in there. And now, your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
There is indeed a question mark in it, as we will see. Welcome back, Sarah.
Thank you. Big ups to John Ramos, who so ably filled my seat for two real dookies.
He really did.
It's like, you really got two shit cakes in a row, didn't you?
Before we move on, though, did you have any comments about especially the 17-year itch episode? Because I know you're personally offended by Cindy's banana clip.
I didn't recall that was like the least of her sartorial offenses, but I would also like to tip many hats to you for the like coxcomb screen grab of Jim's bedhead and just the like meek arrow that was like, my point.
Yeah, it's a rough episode for Jim. She's really lucky that she decides to stay with him, all things considered, especially since leaving him might also have meant leaving the children. But we're not here to talk about the 17-year itch. We're here to talk about...
No, we're not. Or Glenn, that pinko.
Oh, my God, I know. Ugh. Anyway, I just remembered the B-roll of their stupid conversation. Go back and listen to that episode. It's a good one. Anyway,
I did.
Today, before we get into it, also, I just want to mention there's a very exciting podcast announcement, so make sure you listen to this whole entire thing. It's coming up at the end of this discussion of Isn't It Romantic? And then a question mark. So let's dispense with the B story first, as we do. Some people are taking the mandatory health class, and it's about to come up to the mandatory sex ed portion. For some reason, Scott is in this class with Steve and Brenda, even though they're juniors and Scott and David, as we're frequently reminded, are frosh. But I think that's only so that there can be an excuse for somebody to have a lot of conversation about his mom not approving of the sex ed.
Yeah, well, yeah, we'll get to that. But yeah, it's funny because this B plot, people remember this B plot quite well. And people, of course, remember the A plot well, mostly because of Dylan's acid wash duster. Just kidding. Now you remember it for that. But I think that they were in two separate episodes. I also confess to fast forwarding some of this B plot because it was so uncomfortable that I felt like I might actually like have a coronary event.
Well, that's a good segue to our first clip because it ends horribly. Let's play clip number two.
Why does this class have to be co-ed?
It's much better this way.
Why?
Because when they start talking about sex things with guys around, it gets them in the mood.
Yeah.
Even if that were true, and I could tell you some stories about all girls sex ed, there was an acrylic dildo and a blindfold.
What? Don't just breeze by
Is it like some sort of pin the tail on the donkey? Game
yes, basically, we had to line up. We were all blindfolded, and you had to be able to like unwrap the condom and get it onto this acrylic cock.
Oh my God, that's actually very useful information to give.
It actually was, but I mean, this thing was gigantic. So on the day that we were actually like, faced with reality, I was like, this isn't transparent or 14 inches.
It was actually
Where's Mrs. Benthine? I feel uncomfortable.
It was actually a spent shell from a howitzer from World War II.
It really is.
Oh my
like
God.
That scene in Dr. Strangelove.
Strangelove
anyway.
Indeed.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it for this week.
No, seriously, we should quit while we're really far behind.
Well, just another, yeah. So as I mentioned, Dead Scott, his mother is not approving of this class, and that's clip number three.
My mom's never going to sign that form.
Why not?
She thinks I'll be getting the wrong kind of message at school.
Well, what kind of message are you getting at home? Your mom has six kids.
But I like that this line, considering how fast and loose they play a lot in, no pun intended, in season one with like people's backstories and their parents and stuff. This actually is consistent with the Mrs. Scanlon that we come to meet in season two, that she's like a weird Christian lady.
Yeah. And there are a million little lesser Scanlons. Yeah.
Hard to believe there's one lesser than Scott, but stay tuned. And so the other thing that's happening is there's a speaker coming, so let's set it up with clip number four.
We are fortunate to have Miss Stacy Sloan coming to address the student body.
Did you say undress the student body? I'm there.
Oh, Steve.
I can never resist keeping in the Steve laugh in these clips. So good.
Well, someone's got to laugh at his ridiculous, like, Hugh Hefner meets Jackie Mason lines, like, did someone say undress that? What year do you think it is, sir?
Yes, but the teacher's car gets all fucked up because he's a public school teacher. Even in Beverly Hills, they can't afford a nice ride. So Steve finagles the job of picking up this woman, Stacy, at the airport and driving her to her hotel. All together now, it's the Bellage because it's the only it's the only hotel in town. And then he hits on her and she nicely puts him off. And then it comes to her speech. And that is clip number five.
I had an experience just after I arrived here that I'd like to share with all of you. A young man wanted to take me out on the town, show me around, get to know me better. Timing wasn't right, and I told him that. It was a shame, too. He was very handsome. Had incredible blue eyes. What I didn't tell him is what I'm going to have to tell every guy who's interested in me for the rest of my life. That I have AIDS.
Guys, shit just got real.
Yeah. Also, little known side effect of AIDS back in the early 90s was apparently sight impairment.
Well, that would also explain why she shows up for the speech in like knee-high white color guard boots. Really unfortunate.
I kind of like the boots, but the hat.
Oh, yeah, the hat.
Which was like this weird Blossom / 1930s depression cartoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No.
So she makes this announcement. There's a gif because it cuts to Steve immediately in his look of aghastitude.
Silent movie stricken Steve.
So great.
Yeah. Okay. So I saw that gif just before we started the show. And yes. There's this ever so subtle eyebrow raise.
Yes.
That I really wish there was like a 100,000% zoom in on.
On him or on her?
On him.
Oh.
And it's just like 2 millimeters, but it's like. It's like maybe the best piece of acting he's ever done.
I can't believe you're saying that the week that Sharknado's coming out. But
oh,
anyway.
Yeah, right, sorry.
So moving on, she tells some more of her specifics in clip number six.
I was 16. He was a law student at the university where I went to summer school. One weekend, he arranged a beautiful romantic evening for us, and we made love. It was my first time. After a while, we found out we really didn't have that much in common, and we went our separate ways. He died last year.
Of
AIDS.
Oh!
But wait, here's the twist.
Well, I really...
That was the monkey from the jungle that started it all. That's why they had nothing in common.
He put on
and
nice
then she
ate
some peanuts
though.
At the airport, and then yeah. Steve picked
I don't
her
know
up.
Why she didn't clue in. There's bananas everywhere, throwing poo everywhere.
I really, every time the like big of AIDS reveal is like, I wish that they would like drop in her being like, he was hit by lightning, he was eaten by a bear.
Like that, like the opening scene of The Naked Gun with O.J. Simpson, where he just keeps on getting into these little accidents, puts his hand on a hot stove.
Oh, Nordberg.
Yeah. So Stacy's speech, in addition to being incredibly melodramatic, and there's all these people behind her on stage, like, why? And we have to watch.
I hadn't known, like, why is everybody up there on the dais? Like, did they also get AIDS their first time? Is that Mrs. Teasley?
It's like, did it look like a diploma ceremony?
Kind of. There's like six people sitting on the stage behind her, and she, and we also have to watch Andrea like testing the mic for like 20 minutes before this even starts.
At the end of it, she gets a big diploma. She unfurls it and says, "You have AIDS."
Like a chick tract.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this speech is literally, because I clocked it, it's 3 minutes long. It's less than 3 minutes long. So they like flew her there from Chicago. She also exposits that she had spoken at Beverly High in the morning, but it's like, you could have put both of these in one period, lady. Like, Jesus Christ, what a waste of money.
Well, she doesn't have much time to live, Tara.
That's true.
She's about to get eaten by a bear with AIDS.
That's why you don't wear those hats.
Lightning AIDS bear. Sorry.
The North American AIDS bear.
But anyway, the speech has its intended effect. Steve is capital M moved, and then he hits on her again in clip number 7.
Hope I didn't get you into too much hot water.
No, I could do that all by myself. Stacy.
Look out for the bear.
I hope I didn't... I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Tell me you heard what I was trying to get across here today, and I'll go home happy.
I did. And, my offer for dinner is still open next time you're in town.
Because she already said in her speech, you can't get AIDS from sharing someone's french fries, so they'll be safe. It's okay, you guys. Don't worry about Steve.
Yeah, but she also said she's not sure she can keep the fries down, so cheap date?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, like, as awkward and preachy as this is, like, you always have to mark off, or, like, mark on a curve for...
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Just early 90s shows, like, the shit really would kill you. Like, there's, I mean, granted, at my school, the acrylic dildo kick line... was mostly
episode
because they
title.
Didn't want us to get pregnant and they could have given a shit if we died of an STD, but...
Right, right. The acrylic dildo kick line. Now, if someone has the power to animate such a thing, please do, because I think the world needs it.
I think the North American AIDS Bear Conservancy is going to get right on that.
North American AIDS Bear in acrylic dildo strap-on doing a kick line? Anyway, moving on. Speaking of dildos, so the A plot this week is Brenda and Dylan finally getting together as a couple. She's getting ready to babysit. She comes over. She's yammering to Brandon almost more than the AIDS thing. What dates this episode is her saying that she had to go to three different video stores to rent Dirty Dancing, which is like, now you can watch it on Netflix for free. But anyway, not free. I guess you have to pay for Netflix. You know what I mean.
Way to qualify it.
You know what I mean. I don't want anyone to
Netflix costs money.
Whatever.
It's the same guy that's no animals harmed in making this film. I doubt it. Did you know that film is made with animal celluloid?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're never going to get through this.
We really aren't. So Brenda's complaining to Brandon, and then all of a sudden Dylan rolls out from under the car that they're working on, and, clip number 8.
Hi, I didn't see you.
I saw you.
Brenda?
Gross.
Telephone. Excuse me. Probably a very important political call.
I don't really have any good reason for pulling that clip. I just was very struck by how nonsensical "very important political call" is. I'd also like to shout out to the makeup department for the perfectly cosmetic grease smudging they did of Luke Perry. Well done.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this before. I was obviously a Dylan girl, but he's kind of irresistible in this episode. I'm so sorry. Please don't fire me.
Yeah, he really, I mean, he has a couple of charming moments, mm-hmm. I admit. And even the ones that don't charm me are like very obviously and professionally constructed to mash every button, as it were, on a girl's like bad boy with a, you know, troubled past control panel. Like he's perfect.
He's perfect for Brenda because she loves the drama. Like we've already learned this about her. Anyway, so she goes inside.
You know who he's not designed for?
Sarah DeBentic?
Jim Walsh.
Oh, no, he's not, as we learn in clip number 9.
So, where did you learn to work on cars?
I'm working on cars, same as Brandon.
Brandon tells me you have a Porsche.
Mm-hmm. Now that is a happening car.
You bought it from your paper route earnings?
Something like that, yeah. Mr. Walsh, would it be okay if I cleaned up a little bit and took a shower?
Certainly. Tell me something. Do you take this thing off first?
His earring.
In the shower? Depends on the circumstances, sir.
Dylan has an earring. Ooh.
Yeah. It. You would think that that had not aged well, but it actually does. It looks fine. Mm-hmm. Doesn't bother me. It's not like the Harrison Ford situation where you're like, yeah, no.
Yes. So Brenda goes inside. She's just finished talking to Kelly, who weirdly is on her end of the phone, is sitting on a white shag like throw on her bed, painting her toenails, which has disaster written all over it. But anyway, she hears the shower and she assumes it's Brandon. But then the shower curtain gets pulled aside and it's Dylan and he's all wet.
And it's a transparent shower curtain that he's like sort of holding over his nethers. But like, I'm sure she could see it.
Oh my God.
Excuse me.
Bless
Sorry.
You.
Wow. That just sort of happened.
Thank you for diverting us from that course of discussion.
But you're right. That is a weird choice for a bathroom that a teenage brother and sister share. Like, get a shower curtain. People might be in there brushing their teeth at the same time.
Maybe not these particular twins.
Well,
yeah.
There is that. So Brenda steps aside to the next room to be polite, and this conversation happens. Clip number 10.
So you were saying you're into videotape, huh?
Yeah, I like movies.
You ever see Animal Crackers? Ugh. You know, Marx Brothers?
I think so, on TV.
Oh, it's so much better on the big screen.
Shut up.
It's too bad you're on duty tonight, or you could see what I mean.
Well, actually, my plans got poxed.
You want to come along?
Yeah.
Take it easy, Casio.
Wait, what did she say? Her plans got what?
Poxed.
Poxed?
I don't
know. Her babysitting clients got chicken pox, but I actually am going to steal like poxing things.
Yeah.
All right. Also, Dylan is using like 15 towels, sir. You're 5'7", and you weigh 112 pounds.
Yeah, you're not at the hotel right now.
Yeah, seriously, what the hell? Is Henry going to come and do the laundry at the Walsh's house?
So they go on the date. Brandon goes with them. They run into some old trick of Dylan's, and there's stupid joke about she keeps changing her name because it's something boring like Brenda. Har har. And they go back to the hotel. And
that was pretty funny, though. He was sort of charming in that scene, except for that he's wearing yet another pair of pajama pants.
He is anyway. In pajama pants on this date, which, I don't know, guess he's trying to play it cash. But yeah, when we see them back at his hotel room after he still has them on, even with company over, which is not okay. And then later, Brandon gets a cold and Dylan and Brenda decide to go back to this interminable Marx Brothers film festival without him. And Jim is not happy in clip number 11.
Wait a minute. She's going out alone with that guy?
Apparently.
Terrific.
I take it you're not pleased.
That's an understatement. His father is known in financial circles as an unethical bastard, and that's putting it politely.
But why judge Dylan by his father?
In my experience, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Yeah.
Was your father a North American AIDS bear, Jim? Because pretty hairy there.
Yeah, so they go back to the to this same movie theater where I have in my notes, more fucking Marx Bros suicide. And they're standing in the lobby when they have this conversation in clip number 12.
What about them?
That's a pickup if I ever saw one.
How can you tell?
Body language. He's available.
She's open to suggestion.
You know a lot about this stuff.
What stuff?
You know, people, couples, stuff.
Don't you?
I don't know. Not really.
Not really. That's important. Or will be later. Depending on who you ask, I guess. So they go back to the hotel and there's a bunch of dudes there, including old Jack McKay, who is not the same actor that later plays him in Giant Sweatpants. And they have
Josh Taylor 2016 and his pants.
Yep. Dylan and Jack have a fight off stage, and then probably the most memorable Brenda and Dylan moment happens, and that is clip 13.
You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
Good.
Look, do you want to take a walk on the beach or something?
Oh, yeah, check out the homeless people. That'd be great.
Dylan, I don't know what happened up
That's
there.
That's right, you don't.
If you'd let me finish.
Excuse me, I have a knack for interrupting things.
Dylan.
I'm real good at interrupting things, and I've had just about enough noise for one night, okay?
Excuse me, can you get me a taxi?
Forget the taxi.
No, I want a taxi.
No, just come on, damn it.
Stop yelling at me.
He picks up a plant, smashes it on the ground. You know. He runs after
let
her.
Let me go.
Friend, I'm an idiot. Please don't leave.
You're scaring me.
Gets to me. He always gets to me. I don't know what I'm supposed to.
And then they're staring and sniffling. And then
Frenching.
They kiss. That was abrupt.
Yeah, well, like I said, that hits all the checks all the boxes.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a perfect
little dangerous, little sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Acid wash duster. Just kidding. That's in no one's box. Just kidding.
It's not. But yeah,
and can I just ask why she's all like screamy at him? Like she's immediately aggro. Like. Yeah. Well, Dad yanked him out of the room by the arm. Like, what do you think happened up there?
Mm-hmm. But she's trying to understand. She doesn't know about this stuff, Sarah. She just said it in the previous clip. I'm not making excuses for her, but I think that's the reason. So then he drives her home. And Sarah wanted me to clip a little bit of this music for clip number 14.
So after he kicked me out, we didn't talk for about a year.
So even though she mentioned Dirty Dancing at the beginning, and even though obviously she's like the wind was cut from the actual episode, they couldn't take it out of the score. Very strange.
Yeah. And how sad that I immediately recognized, like, that song was everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
For like 5 years. And I was immediately like, oh, cute. So you couldn't get the real rights, but you got the little sting on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a memorable one. So Brenda goes to school. She's very excited to tell Kelly all about what's going on with her and Dylan in clip 15.
I mean, it's not like we're going steady or anything. Brenda, you had a date, and he asked you out again. That's dating. That's plural.
Oh, so what's next? Do I get pinned or something?
Yeah, preferably to the mattress. Kelly?
Quit taking Steve's lines, Kelly.
Quit taking Kim Cattrall's lines from Sex and the City, Kelly.
Oh, yeah, true.
Anyway, Brenda and Dylan get become the obnoxious couple you hate immediately in clip number 16.
So how was the movie? We didn't make the movie.
Hi.
Brenda, hi.
Why didn't you tell me you didn't go to the movie?
What movie?
Dylan whispers in her ear.
Oh, that movie. Right.
That's supposed to be funny.
Sorry. It's no big deal, is it?
No, I guess not.
I love how this show manages to make everyone an asshole somehow.
Yeah. They're really smug. It is pretty gross. To be fair to Brandon for once and maybe definitely the last time in this episode, but maybe ever. So then chatter at the dinner table with the Walshes later on segues to more of Jim Walsh's seething suspicions about Dylan in clip 17.
Oh, hey, come on. You should do it, Dad.
Definitely. I mean, Brandon's working this weekend. I have plans. You guys should just go.
What are you doing?
Huh?
I mean, what are your plans this weekend?
Oh, I'm probably going out Friday night to a movie or something.
With whom?
Dylan.
Crickets.
Is there a problem?
I really don't want you getting involved with the movie.
Oh, it's a little too late for that, Dad.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I mean, I don't want you dating him, period.
Jump in any time, Brandon.
Well,
he has nothing to say about this.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I'll make plans with Kelly instead. Thanks for dinner. It's been real.
It's been real.
The 90s is slam in the episode for sure.
Yeah, I will give credit to, why can't I remember the actor who plays Jim's name? Eckhaus. Because he, like, this whole stance that he has about Dylan being like Jim McKay and sort of like, I forbid it, which goes on for like, seriously, 3 years, mm-hmm. Is ridiculous and untenable, and he must, like, he must know that, but he plays it really convincingly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And
but other than that, shut up, Jim.
And shut up, Brandon. Brenda, a little, like, she's, her tone is not acceptable, A. And B, okay, I'll make plans with Kelly and Donna instead. Like, anyone could see through that, Brenda. Like, come up with something better than that.
Well, but these are the parents who looked at her outfit in the pilot and believed that she was going to McDonald's to study.
That's true. So Cindy is not on board with Jim's animosity towards Dylan. She goes upstairs to check in on Brenda after she stomps away from the table because it's been real, and they have a conversation to parallel the episode's events in both plots in clip 18.
Is this course as outmoded as it was when I was in school?
I don't know. We haven't gotten up to the sex chapter yet.
Oh, this book looks pretty thorough.
It doesn't deal with the most important stuff.
Like what?
Bears. Like how it feels in your heart when you really want to connect with someone.
When it's the right time, it's the right person. It feels wonderful.
But enough about Glenn. Yeah. There's more to that, but yeah, don't say wonderful like that, Cindy, please, ever.
About Jim, bleh. Although she's, as usual, she's like, she's good. Go,
she
Cindy.
Is. Yes, someone has to have her interests at heart, Brenda's, for once. So Brenda stops on her way out the door to tell Brandon, thanks for selling me out, which she is right to do, because that sucked. And then she goes over to Kelly's to complain about it, and this awesome conversation happens in clip 19.
This is going so fast.
We're just talking about it. Wait till you get to the real thing.
I guess I'm more into the romance angle. Like in the movies.
That's all well and good for the movies, but you do have protection, right?
Well, no.
Open that drawer. Basic rule number one. Never rely on the guy. Memorize that.
You sound so clinical.
Dear, clinical is, what time shall we schedule the procedure?
Kelly, that's awful.
Would you rather sit around thinking up names? How about Dylan Jr. or Brendina?
All right, I'll take them. This is not the part I want to think about.
Brenda, if things go well, you won't be thinking at all.
I think that was the Windows 98 startup chime.
I was going to say, it sounds like the more you know sound. But yeah, Kelly is kind of obnoxious, but at the same time, that is excellent advice, and she's 100% right, obviously.
Actually, the more you know in the biblical sense is very apt.
Sure. I would also like to note, and this is completely irrelevant, it's just something that I noticed, like, Kelly drives Brenda everywhere. Why is Kelly coming to pick Brenda up? I mean, I know why.
Yeah.
Brenda can't drive, but like, tough shit. Take the bus. Get a cab.
Yeah.
Ride that bike we'll be seeing soon.
dun. Spoiler for the next episode. Yes. So at school, Brenda and Dylan are obnoxious and smug some more, like wrestling on the lawn, and Brandon watches so them judgmentally, annoying. Which I gift, and I'm very happy with it. And then he and his judgmental mock turtleneck stop Dylan in the hall to have some frank, manly conversation in clip number 20.
Hey, Dylan, where are you going so fast?
Gotta be someplace. What's up?
I was hoping you could help me work on my car this weekend.
Look, I'd like to, but my old man got back in town, and he's got... It's a long story.
Well, you don't have time to tell me about it?
Not really.
Oh, but you do have time to make out with my sister. Or is that just until next month when suddenly you won't have time for her either?
What's your point?
My point is you better really like her. She's very romantic and dreamy and sweet, and she's not gonna move on that easily. Dylan, she's a virgin.
What kind of jerk do you think I am? Have a nice weekend.
It's been real.
Oh my God.
I'm not sure if Brandon's motivation in this scene, now that I listen back to it again, is that he's concerned for Brenda or if he's jealous that Dylan is spending time with her instead of Brandon. Discuss.
Well, my notes read, "You have time to make out with my sister," quote, "that's my job," unquote. So, yeah. That, but it's also like typical paternalistic Brandon bullshit. Mm-hmm. And, like, you're in the hall at school. You're being super condescending. I mean, I don't love Dylan's weird attitude. Like, he got some weird direction in this scene.
Yeah.
But, I mean, butt out, Brandon. Like, I know it's weird when your sibling dates a friend of yours, or I guess it is. That never happened to me. But it's like, shut up. Just shut up forever.
Yeah. It doesn't work. Brenda and Dylan are still on for this... It's seriously unending Marx Brothers Film Festival. But before she goes to meet him, she has to have a trying on sex clothes montage with Kelly and Donna that is like 5 hours long.
They changed the music. The music used to be kind of cute and fun, and now it's just weird and doesn't fit.
Yes. It doesn't look like fun try-on times. It's all sped up. It's really stupid. It's just clearly filling time. Jim is so proud of his parenting when he sees Brenda go out with Kelly and Donna in her weird black blouse and blush skirt. Like, they actually have plans. And then Brenda gets stood up, of course, and I, in my notes, how fucking long is this film festival, in all caps?
Well, and how fucking long did you wait? You waited through the entire movie?
Yeah.
Like, after 10 minutes, he's obviously not coming. Call a cab.
Yeah, get a grip.
That's on you, Vargin.
It is. Although, side note, I'm pretty sure when they pull back and show the whole theater, I think it's where we saw our friend John Ramos's movie, Terms and Conditions May Apply, in Studio City. I think it's that Lemley. But that's, as I said, neither here nor there. Brenda is inconsolable, and she talks about it with Brandon in clip 21.
He didn't show up, Brandon. I was ready to spend the night with him. And he didn't show up. What a jerk, huh?
He sure can be.
Not him, me. I thought I was special.
You are.
Well, not to him, obviously. You.
Brenda, get a grip.
Well, really, my notes, again, calm down. It's not like you already fucked and then he ditched you. Decide he's rude and get on with your life.
Honestly, I mean, this was going to be your first and a half date. Like, oh no, sorry, second and a half. But still, like, if you really were planning on sleeping with him that night, that's maybe a little soon if you're 16.
Also, if you're planning on sleeping with anyone, what are you wearing?
Not that outfit, yeah, for real.
Oh my God.
So Brandon is horrified on Brenda's behalf, and then he goes to yell at Dylan, because that's what he does in clip 22.
Been busy lately, Dylan?
Well, just the master of tact and diplomacy.
What's going on with you, man? I know you moved. I went to your old house. They said you didn't even leave a forwarding address.
It's a long story.
Would you rather tell it to Brenda?
Brenda, don't start that with me, all right? I got the message. You don't want me to hurt your sister.
Then why is that exactly what you did? Just to spite me?
Look, it wasn't because of you, okay?
You gotta believe me. Something came up, that's all.
Dylan, it's one thing not to talk to me. I'm not gonna cry about it. But when you do it to her, she feels like she did something wrong.
It wasn't her. It had nothing to do with her.
Why don't you tell her that?
Would you guys hold it down there?
She was so upset all weekend, she even stayed home from school today.
Give me a slide.
It's got nothing to do with her. It's got nothing to do with me. Meanwhile, you're not talking to either of us. Makes a lot of sense.
Look, I was attacked by North American AIDS bear.
Give me a break.
Sorry, Sarah. Dave was talking over you. What did you say?
I said, well, he's met you before, so actually it makes perfect sense. And also, like, Cindy, I'm usually on board with your decisions,
even though they don't
turn out so well.
Yep.
But, like, my mother, never in a million years. Like, I thought I was going to get laid, but I didn't, and he stood me up. Can I stay home from school? Like, come closer and ask me that, you dumb shit.
Yeah,
fucking kidding?
I never got to stay home due to heartbreak. It's pretty ridiculous. But yeah, she did in fact stay home, as we see when Dylan comes over and sees her in the same green blouse that Brandon had on earlier in the episode. And as Sarah put it, not just the camel toe, the whole camel in her cutoff Levi's 501s pulled up to her rib cage. So he tries to explain in clip 23.
Brandon told me you moved. You didn't even...
I didn't even show up Friday night because I had to help my father pack. He needed to disappear, and...
What do you mean? Where did he go?
Out of the country for a little while. I really don't know where. That way, if I'm subpoenaed, I don't have anything to tell them.
Subpoenaed?
He found out he's going to be indicted on some charges. Not murders or anything. It's, securities fraud. Things like that.
Dylan!
I've been thinking about you the whole time. I just had to go through this. Please don't think that I didn't care. I did. I do.
I wish you would have called.
I just couldn't.
I called you.
When? They didn't tell me.
Now I feel terrible.
About time.
I don't want to make you feel terrible anymore.
How do you want me to feel, Dylan? What do you want me to feel?
Bearish? Oh, God.
They start making out. But wait.
You're so warm.
Yeah. You're so warm? Is that what he said?
Yes.
Huh. All right.
Like,
yeah. Like a snuggly North American AIDS man. Just.
Yeah. So things progress, which is when Jim comes home. She tries to hustle Dylan out the back door before he can see, but Jim comes in the back door, as it were. And then... I'm sorry. It was right there.
Oh, it's even worse. And then, don't use any more words.
All right. So then Jim and Brenda have this conversation in clip 24.
What kind of idiot do you take me for? Are you going to pretend that he was just over here fixing cars?
Why are you so upset?
You want to learn about your pal there? His father's exploits would make a great novel someday. Maybe he can write it from prison.
Was he arrested?
Not yet. He skipped town. Great role model, huh? Some example.
Dad, Dylan is nothing like his father. He's just trying to get by like the rest of us.
You deserve better than that.
Like who? Someone straighter? Someone younger? Quieter?
For a start.
Younger?
Dad, those nice boys may be mild-mannered on the outside, but mostly what they all think about is sex.
Who said anything about sex? I'm talking about a person's values. I'm talking about their character.
Are you really worried about my character? Why is it with Brandon? You just want to make sure he knew about birth control, but my whole value system is on the line.
Brenda, it is different with girls. It just is.
Oh.
You need to know who you're dealing with.
Then let me get to know him. That's all I want to do.
Is that all?
What do you want me to say? That I'm going to wait till I get married? You're so worried and I haven't even done anything yet.
I'm not worried. I just don't know if I'm ready. I mean, if you're ready to...
And if I'm ready first... Then what? Should I lie and sneak around? Or are you going to trust me to know what I'm doing?
Brenda!
Oh my God. Spoiler. Yes, you are going to have to. And no, he's not.
Yeah.
I mean, hi. I know it's TV, but this is where you have a mutual silent agreement with your paternal unit not to even think about any of that or yep. discuss it ever. You don't menstruate. There are no boobs. Nope.
Yeah, I'll say this for the show. Jim is consistent the whole way through in having exactly this attitude about Brenda, namely the different for girls attitude and your values, etc.
Yeah.
But I never got, the show never really lets him get away with it. Like, you don't get the feeling that the actual show approves of that attitude, and scenes like this are how you can tell, because she hands his ass to him. Like, she totally wins this argument and is 100% right.
Yeah, nope, agree.
So then he decides to relent on the Dylan question, and there is some manly talk when Dylan comes to pick up Brenda for their next date in his nerd costume in clip 25.
How you holding up?
Okay. I just don't talk to the press much. Mr. Walsh, I've never felt comfortable being known as Jack McKay's son, particularly since... I hardly know the man.
It's a shame it has to be that way.
Brandon and Brenda are very lucky to have parents like you.
Eh. They're lucky to have a parent like Cindy.
Well, and Brandon is.
Yeah. So Brenda comes down in her eye-searing, wine-colored, crushed velvet bodysuit situation. And they go out for a drive. And then she has to, because by this point they've had the talk from Stacy, so she has a very important question to ask him in our final clip.
Dylan, I have to ask you something.
Do you probably have AIDS?
Ask her.
Don't get mad, okay?
I never get mad.
You always get mad.
Have you ever had sex when you weren't protected?
Not lately.
Did you ever?
Yeah. Are you worried about that?
Well, I'm assuming that you want to with me. Am I totally blowing this?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I love what you think. Not a lot of people do.
In case we were wisecracking over it, the end of that clip is Dylan saying, I love it that you think, not a lot of people do. All right. Don't undo all the good you did yourself in this episode with that nonsense.
Seriously.
Anyway, he agrees that he would get tested for her and for him, and that's the end. They still haven't boned. So.
Oh, but she also wants to slow things down. Like,
yeah.
How much slower can it go? Will there be a board installed in the front seat of his car between you?
Yes. So that isn't it romantic? And we now know the question mark is not an accident. So let's go through our MVP, LVP. Sarah, your most valuable player for the episode.
Surprisingly, and I'm sure this will never be true again, so enjoy it, Dylan McKay.
Nice.
Yeah, he's actually quite charming. He, even though Jim is like resistant, he knows kind of how to, like, he probably gives pretty good parent generally. Yep. Like, he's written in that way where he's like cool and
calls him sir.
Yeah, knows what to say, jokes around a little, not too much.
Yep.
Understands the concern about his own dad. And despite the cornea broil acid wash duster, he is pretty foxy in this episode, and also screams at Brandon, which I always enjoy. Yep. Who's yours?
Kelly, mostly for that clip that we played. Where she advises Brenda about contraception, because there's just nothing in that scene but good, smart advice. And I'm sure no younger people are listening to this because they don't watch this show because it's 1,000 years old. But if they are, Kelly's right. Listen to Kelly. And least valuable player.
Oh,
This is a close one. I'm interested to see which male Walsh you pick.
Oh, okay, Jim. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go with Brandon.
Oh, good. So we're fully covered for all the reasons that we've already said. And now, before we get to the Kim challenge.
Exciting announcement. And now available for 2 weeks, the Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know t-shirt.
T-shirt!
In appropriate 90s colors and appropriate 90s thick fonts.
Yep.
Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know. Go to the site, click the store link, buy one now for the next 2 weeks or die trying.
The site being previously.tv.
Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know.
Yes, the site in question previously.tv. And now the Kim Challenge. Let's do that again.
Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know.
Five reasons that Dylan, as represented in this episode, is mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
One?
Oh, Dave's got one.
He's mad, bad, and dangerous to know because he might be a vampire because he's very cold and he thinks that Brenda is very warm. So I'm worried he might be a vampire.
Okay, Sarah.
I will add to Dave's that he is wearing a duster that is quite reminiscent of the ones they wore in The Lost Boys. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me in the comments. Mine is that you could easily get your foot broken when he smashes a planter near it.
Yeah. He could also, if you're staying in that hotel with him, he might get you kicked out onto the street for vandalizing their property.
He could give you the AIDS.
That was going to be my last one, too. So he could give you AIDS twice, I guess.
He could get you subpoenaed as a material witness to whatever.
Yeah.
Very good.
Underrated. And don't forget about
the Marx Brothers marathon.
Oh, yeah.
God, nobody wants to do that.
With old movies.
Yeah. Yep. Yikes. That would be mad and bad. All right.
Thanks, guys. This has been Again With This with 90210. Next time, Brandon pays a visit to Bray A when drinking goes terribly wrong.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.